Morning, Rabbi Yisai. The majority of Poskim hold that if a Kehillah forgot Parsha Shkolim, then they can't make it up on the following week, which would be Hafsoka, and Lion Shkolim then. But there are some who hold you can. Everybody holds that if you forgot Parsha Zochar for some reason, and that's the Shabbos before Purim, and Purim's gone past, then you've missed Parsha Zochar, too late. Now the question happens, what happens if the Kehillah misses out Parshas Porah? Parshas Porah, that means tomorrow. Supposing there's a Kehillah that we spoke yesterday about sometimes that not all Kehillahs have got Rabbonim. And we spoke yesterday about a Kehillah who said Hallel on Purim, thinking that that's what you're supposed to do. And, you know, it's a genuine mistake. And it could be that in such a Kehillah, some place where there's no rabbi and there's only a few balabatim and there's a Sheol Saplata from some Kehillah that used to exist once upon a time, it can be sometimes that people don't know and they might do the wrong thing and they might forget Parsha Zochar. Question is, could you do Parsha Zochar next week? And if you do Parsha Zochar next week, Parsha Porah next week, which is going to be Parsha Zachodesh, yeah, can you do Parsha Porah either together or both or one or the other, etc.? It's interesting because the Gemara says as follows. I brought a copy of the Gemara. Yeah, the Gemara says, this is a Megillah Daf Chof Tes Amud Aleph, which is the Mishnah about the four Parshias. And it says, Bashlishis Pora Adumo, and Boravius HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem. So on the third week of Adar, we do Parshas Pora, which is where we're up to this week. And next week, the last Shabbos in Adar, we will do Parshas HaChodesh. Says Rashi brings down Yerushalmi. The Rishalmi says that really it should have been the other way around. Why? Because historically, the Mishkan was erected by Moshe Rabbeinu and left up on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Rosh Chodesh Nisan was Hukam HaMishkan. And the first Parah Adumo was made by Moshe Rabbeinu the day after, on the 2nd of Nisan. Therefore, if you look, yeah, until then there wasn't a Parah Adumo. Exactly, I'm not sure how they were doing the Avodah before that. If I presume the Kohenim or Aaron HaKohen and his sons, they weren't to Meimesim or there was some Heta, I'm not sure. But there was no Parah Adumo to be Metaya person from Tumas Meis until the second day of Nisan. Therefore, chronologically, really, Parshas HaChodesh should come first and Parshas Parah Adumo should come later. Elamai. So therefore, Omer Rab Choma, this is Yerushalmi, Rashi brings it in Megillah Daf Chof Tes. Bedinhu, sheyikdoim ha-chodesh le-Parshas Porah. Chodesh ought to come before Parshas Porah. Shari be'echa b'nisan huka ha-mishkan, v'sheni loy nisrafa ha-porah. It was only on the second day that the Porah Duma was burnt. And therefore it should be the other way around. Novos, v'pnei ma'ahik dimuho. So why did they make Parshas Porah this week and not after next week? In other words, why didn't they make it like the chronological order after Parshas HaChodesh? Well, I understand from Rashi, as Rashi's saying, earlier this week, the reason why Parshas Porah is this week is because we need at least 3 weeks to be able to do a 7-day process of becoming Tohoy from Tumas Meis, plus 2 weeks to be able to get to Yerushalayim. And therefore we need at least a 3-week gap. Therefore we have to remind people already this week. We have to remind people this week, make sure that you get your skates on, get to Yerushalayim a week earlier so that you can be metaya yourself from Parah Adumo, or actually with the Parah Adumo, or you can be metaya yourself at home and then go to Yerushalayim. But you need 3 weeks. And therefore they were Magdim. Therefore they were Magdim the Parshas Porah before Parshas HaChodesh, even though chronologically Porah came after Parshas HaChodesh. But that means that b'diyeved, if there was a killer that didn't do it this week, then we could say that they should be able to line it next week. They should be able to line next week, and in fact it's brought down, the Poskim must say, that if there was a Kehillah that would forget to do Parshas Porah this week, that next week they would take out 3 Sifrei Torah, yeah, and they would line 3 Sifrei Torah, like one does occasionally. It's a very good trivia question, you know, as to when do we take out 3 Sifrei Torah, and everybody knows, yeah, Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, etc., etc., and Shkolim as well, if it falls on Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Shkolim, etc., those are the 2. But here's the third one, that you would take out 3 Sifrei Torah. Pardon? If it works out Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, I don't know how you do it with four. I'm not quite sure how you do it. But in any event, you would do it. You would take out. It says you would take out three Sefer Torah. B'Shabbos Habo Shibas Chodesh Yikru Kriya Shavua. First read the Sedra. V'Achkar B'Sefer Torah Sheni Yikru Parshas Poro V'Vichoy Seho. And you make a bracha L'Tchilu V'Soif. V'Sefer Shlishi Yikru Parshas Chodesh. And then the Maftir would be Parshas Chodesh. Hopefully every Kehillah is knowledgeable. Every Kehillah's got a working Rabbi, and therefore these things won't happen. But it's just the idea. The concept is that next week is also. There's an Indian in Parshas Parah from next week because it's the week in which the first Parah Duma was made on Beis Nissan.
Started at 20 Northwest London, Friday, Yud Zayin Ador, 6th of March. Reina Rav Toby Weiniger, Shlita, Rob of Hadleywood Jewish Community, Shabbos. This week's Torah been sponsored in Nishmas, Gavriel Ben Yosef Dos, one of Rochel's Yad Zayin is today. Ben Nishmas, our esteemed founder, Yosef Dov Ben Rishu Mechol Tzvi Itzkevitz and Zichro No Livrochol.
Okay, very good. Thanks so much for having me again. Good morning, Rabbi Sai. So today's theme is Parsha theme, but any time that there's any excuse to talk about Shabbos, I always love to talk about Shabbos. So obviously, Shabbos features in this week's Parsha, and it has an intimate connection with Binyan HaMishkan. Of course, the Issuei Melocha, the Lamasat Melochas, are derived from Binyan HaMishkan. And there are many different explanations for what exactly is the connection there between Shabbos and Binyan HaMishkan. I'd like to focus on something slightly different and some beautiful ideas that I've found. And hopefully we can learn together, Mi'at Hashem, and learn something new about Shabbos. So we'll start with the Psukim, which form the basis of Kiddush Rabbah, Shabbos morning Kiddush. And the Torah says as follows, V'sham v'vnei t'alet ha-shabbat, l'asol l'et ha-shabbat l'dor ha-tam v'et olam. Be'inir v'in b'nei Yisrael l'otil ha-olam, ki sheish et yom imasa ha-shem et ha-shamayim v'et ha-oret, uva'yom ha-shvi'i shavat v'yin ha-fash. Now there's a, in my opinion, an unbelievable mechilta, which is brought by the Torah Tamima. And the Mechilta says as follows, it picks up on the beginning of the Pasuk, V'shamu v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat. V'shamu v'nei et ha-shabbat. La'asot, right? That's what the Torah says. V'shamu v'nei et ha-shabbat. The Jewish people observe the Shabbat. La'asot. To perform the Shabbos. So, of course, well, not of course, but if one's sensitive to the language here, there's a tautology. There's an extra language. Why does the Torah need to say v'shamru, that Jewish people should keep, and also la'asos, to perform? Why do we need both of these words? Why do we need v'shamru and why do we need la'asos? It would have been sufficient for the Torah to have just written v'shamru v'nei Yisrael ha-shabbos without the word la'asos, l'dor ha-tam v'et olam, the Jewish people should keep Shabbos forever. What's the word la'asos? What's the word la'asos to perform? What's that doing in the Pasuk? I mean, obviously, what's it doing? It's there because that's how the Torah is written. But how's this supposed to be learnt? So I'll explain this. I'll read the Medrash, and then I'll explain how the Torah Tamima asked this question, just so hopefully it can become even clearer if it hasn't already been clear, yeah? Okay, so...
It seems like it's the positive. The last is presumably could be the positive, and so the Shomer is the negative.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So the Mechilta takes a different approach, and this is quoted by a Torah Tamima. The Mechilta says, Tanya, V'velozo ben pratya oimer, V'shamu v'nei solet ha-shabbos la'asoyses ha-shabbos, right? The Jewish people should keep the Shabbos, la'asoyses ha-shabbos, to perform the Shabbos. Again, the two different words. V'shamu, they should observe, la'asoyses, to perform. Melamed, this teaches us a lesson. Shekol hamashomer es ha-shabbos, ke'ilu asa'a. Anybody who observes Shabbos, it's as if they have made it. Now this is an extraordinary statement of the Mechilta. Extraordinary. Why? Because we don't make Shabbos. It comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have Shabbos. What does it mean that et kol hamashomer et ha-shabbos? It's a mechilta, I'm reading directly here. Kol hamashomer et ha-shabbos, anybody who keeps Shabbos, ke'ilu asa. It's as if they've made it. It's really an extraordinary statement. The Mechilta, the Torah Tamima, explains the Drosha as one of the things about the Torah Tamima. For those of you who are not familiar, Torah Tamima is probably my favorite sefer on Chumash, if one is allowed to say such a thing. And one of the things that it does, I mean, its key purpose is to blend, basically, Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebal Peh. And it brings on every posuk, the Gemoras and the Midrashim, the Yerushalmis, everything that are relevant to that posuk. And what the Torah Tamima commentary does is not only explain the Gemoras, but it also explains why the Gemara arrived at such a learning, arrived at such a limit based on the posuk. In other words, what was bothering the Gemara in the text of the Torah that it needed to make such a drosha. So this is what the Torah Tamima starts off with. Why does the Mechilta here need to say this thing, anybody who observes Shabbos as if they've made it? What leads the Mechilta to such a limit? So Torah Tamima says, Tama drosha ne'er poshet. Seems obvious. Again, it was obvious to Torah Tamima, but not necessarily poshet to anyone else. De medayek la'asoses ha-shabbos. The Mechilta is picking up on this extra, so to speak, word in the posuk, la'asos, to observe Shabbos. Ma'asiyah shayach bozeh. What relevance is there of this asiyah? It would have been sufficient. And according to the simple explanation of the verse, Havale Loimar, it would have been sufficient for the Torah to say, Vishamu v'neisraeles al Shabbos l'doyoisam. And the Jewish people should keep Shabbos for their generations. That's all the Torah needed to say. V'tu lo, and nothing further. V'al yesoid shinoi zeh. And because of this shinoi, because of this departure from what the Torah would have needed to say to get its point across, in other words, it didn't need to have included the word la'asos, according to the Torah Tamima. Again, without the Torah Tamima, we couldn't have said such a thing. Who was anyone else to question what words the Torah could or couldn't have used? But the point is, the Medrash already says something extraordinary, and the Torah Tamima is explaining why the Medrash says something extraordinary. And therefore, the Medrash says, because of this extra word, la'asos, about this beautiful idea of kolam shomeis haShabbos, anybody who keeps Shabbos is ki'ilu asah, it's as if they have formed it. So the question is, now you've explained why the Mechilta arrives at such a conclusion, the question is, well, what's the Mechilta teaching us? What does it mean, kolam shomeis haShabbos ki'ilu asah? That's the main point here. So Torah Tamima gives, in my opinion, most beautiful, beautiful explanation. For me, this is like perspective changing on Shabbos. And that's why I chose to share it this morning. Uveya hadrosha bichlau. Koil ha-meshomesh ha-shabbos kilu ha-so'o nir el-hazbeh. So this is the explanation. Mishum de-meshuna mitzvah Shabbos mishah ha-mitzvah. So Torah Tamima claims, again, there's a lot to analyze here. One can go through each assumption. There's rise for, rise against. We'll just take this piece of Torah Tamima. Again, if it was me that came up with, I said something, and it was rise for, rise against, then okay, it wasn't such a great shit. But here, at least, even if you want to bring arguments against Torah Tamima, at least you've got a beautiful Torah Tamima at the end of it. So Torah Tamima says, "Shemit mitzvah Shabbos mishar mitzvahs. Shabbos is distinct from other mitzvahs. Why? Shekoil hamitzvahs hein atzma nuah shehem in yonim yuchadim lemitzvahs. K'moy sisus atfilin shofar v'sukkah v'lulav. Other mitzvahs, the Torah Tamima says, if you look at the mitzvah, you can see clearly that that's a designated mitzvah object. So he gives the example of tzitzis. Obviously, if somebody sees a tallis cotton, tallis god, or whatever it is, can see this is clearly an object which is for a mitzvah ritual purpose. It's clear. There's nothing else that could be. Tzitzis. Similarly, tefillin. Tefillin is clear. Again, one looks at tefillin and can see clearly that's a mitzvah object. Obviously, if one doesn't know what tefillin is, then you'd be looking at a mitzvah object, you don't know what it is, but you can still see this is clearly a religious object. Shofar, the same. You look at a shofar, you can see this is a religious object. Sukkah, lulav. These are mitzvahs which are visible. They're visible, the mitzvahs, they're visible, and they have objects. That's what he says. They're visible and they've got objects. Va'afilu b'shosha ein makaymin oisong gom kein nekoem mahem. And even at a time when one's not being mekayim the mitzvah, right, one can still see what it is. In other words, if somebody brought a talis now, even though I'm not wearing a talis, it's still apparent what a talis is. If someone brought a shofar now, it's not Rosh Hashanah, it's still apparent what a shofar is. Masha ein kein mitzvah Shabbos. That's not the case when it comes to the mitzvah of Shabbos. This is beautiful. Lulei kiyuma b'foyal, without Bnei Yisrael, without us keeping Shabbos, ein shum heker b'hayoyim shehu Shabbos. There would be no visible manifestation that today is Shabbos. Ki haloi tchunos hayoyim einu meshumim et tchunos hayoyim. The visible manifestation of Shabbos is no different from the from what a Sunday looks like, what a Monday looks like, and what a Tuesday looks like. Again, if nobody in the world kept Shabbos, the day wouldn't look any different. Again, obviously the spiritual quality of the day is different. But if nobody kept Shabbos, it wouldn't look any different. It's only apparent, Shabbos' presence is only apparent through us keeping it and doing it. V'lochein, says the Torah to Mima, and therefore, koilam shomes ha-shabbos havei ki'ilu asor. Therefore, anybody who keeps Shabbos, it's as if they've actually fashioned it. Because basically there's two elements to Shabbos. There's Shabbos in the way that Shabbos is, whether anyone buys in, whether anyone keeps it or not, Shabbos is, right? Shabbos is. Comes. Vayom ha-shvi'i Shabbos ve'yinafash. However, it doesn't mean that it's present in the world. It doesn't mean it's present in the world without us keeping it, enhancing it, buying into it, treasuring it. That is what forms Shabbos' presence in the world. That is what makes it different. That is what makes the spirituality, the ruchnius, the spiritual quality of Shabbos actually manifest in the world through us actually doing it. V'lochein, as I just to say again, koilam shomes ha-shabbos havei ki'ilu asor. Therefore, it's as if anybody who observes Shabbos, it's as if they've actually fashioned it. Yon she'asiyosei makir u'metzayin oisah. Because when a person keeps Shabbos, they sign metzayin. It's a bit like metzayin. They give it a. Yeah, they shape it, they signal it, they show it. I think this is beautiful. I'll explain why I think it's such an inspiring idea. Yeah.
So couldn't you say that about any mitzvah which is to do with time, like Yom Tov or Shemitah, or isn't it all have that feature?
On the one hand, yes. On the other hand, Yom Tov, you've got these mitzvah objects.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, in a Hanami. Yeah. I mean, yesh la'ayin, but the yesod is beautiful.
There's no changing.
Yeah.
It's not seasonal, it doesn't vary, it's every X amount of days.
Exactly, that's the other thing with Yom Tov. It's really Mekodesh Yisroel HaHazmonim. It's really dependent, really the Ikka is dependent on the Kiddush HaChodesh and B'nai Yisroel's involvement. Yeah. That's what's so completely unique about Shabbos, exactly. Yeah. It's the same day each time, doesn't depend, and this is why I find this such an unbelievable point, is that Shabbos, again, especially, it's a good contrast with Yom Tov. It doesn't require any involvement from us, right? Mekadesh Yisroel v'hazmanim. However, Mekadesh HaShabbos, meaning Shabbos comes, it's Kedusha, Chazal teaches us, Kedusha is Kiyuma v'kaimo, meaning without any involvement from Klal Yisroel whatsoever, at any point throughout Jewish history, there still be a holiness of Shabbos. And yet, even though it's, on the one hand, completely detached, right? The Gemara says Shabbos is a matona. It's a gift, right? When the person gives a gift, there's no work that's on the behalf of the recipient. It all comes from the person who's given the gift. In this case, God giving the gift. So on the one hand, yeah, Shabbos is completely from God, obviously, and Mekadesh HaShabbos. On the other hand, without our involvement...
Clickable.
Exactly. Exactly. Without us being a receptacle for that holiness, then it's as if, to some extent, it doesn't exist in the world. It's us by observing it and keeping it and cherishing it brings its holiness manifest into the world. So I find this an extraordinary drosha. This is Mechilta, this is this week's parasha, last week's Shabbos. Psukim we say every single Shabbos morning in Kedusha Rabbah. And this is a Torah Tumima quotes this Medrash, and Torah Tumima explains, as I've just tried to present, both why the Medrash makes such a conclusion, and also the Yosoite, what's going on. Okay, there's a lot more we can do. Let's start with a piece of halacha. Let's go next. We've already started. Let's go to a piece of halacha, and then if we've got time, we'll go to another piece of drush. So Shaila is, what if somebody misses Kiddush? What if somebody misses Kiddush? Now, one may think, why should anyone ever miss Kiddush? What did Kiddush ever do to a person that they should miss it? So what could happen in terms of regular Kiddush? So obviously somebody could be mazed. Somebody could purposefully forget Kiddush, right? They decide they don't want to make Kiddush, and then in the morning they become frum again, and then they decide they want to make Kiddush. So that's one case. I've never come across it yet. Somebody Shabbos night decides they don't want to make Kiddush, and then Shabbos morning all of a sudden, wow, the ruchnius of Shabbos inspired them to make Kiddush. But that's possible, mazed. And the Rambam Shulchan Aruch really speaks about such a case. Oh, very good. So then you could also just forget. Exactly, you could be shogeg or nanos. So what could be realistic cases of this happening? Somebody's in hospital, somebody's ill, or somebody comes back from a long journey, they're jet-lagged, they're exhausted, they fall asleep, and the next thing they wake up, it's time to go to Hashgoma. So it's possible. Shogeg, nanos, or mazed. These are three different categories that the post can discuss in such a case. Either somebody forgets to make Kiddush, for whatever reason, somebody forgets, or somebody, again, they're in hospital, they really can't make Kiddush, or somebody intentionally misses Kiddush on Friday night. So the question is, what's the din? What's the din? What should such a person do? What should such a person do? So the story starts Gemara in Pesachim. Gemara in Pesachim, or Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph, says that somebody who didn't make Kiddush by night can make Kiddush any time over the course of Shabbos. That's what the Gemara says. Any time over the course of Shabbos can make Kiddush. Now the Rambam and the Tor agrees, says that this is whether it's accidentally, forced, or even deliberate. Right? In any of those cases. So in the case of somebody who intentionally doesn't make Kiddush Friday night, according to the Rambam, such a person can wake up Shabbos morning and decide, listen, want to be about Teshuvah, and they make Kiddush. So that's the Rambam and that's the Tor. All based on the Gemara Pesachim. The Tor brings another opinion. Another opinion of Rav Omram Goin, who holds that this din of the Gemara Pesachim, that one can make Kiddush any time on Shabbos day, is only if it's shogeg, a person's missed Kiddush accidentally, or nanos, somebody's been forced. Circumstances beyond their control means that they hadn't made Kiddush. However, if a person is mazed, if a person deliberately neglects making Kiddush on a Friday night, they don't have this permission of the Gemara in Pesachim, which says that one can holech mekadosh kol yom kulo, that one can make Kiddush the entire Shabbos day. So we have a machlokes. We have a machlokes brought down in the Torah between, on the one hand, the Rambam, who holds, again, just to back up, the Gemara says if one misses Kiddush, one can make Kiddush the entire day. And we have a machlokes, what that means. According to the Rambam, that's a very wide scope. It even includes a case of mazed, if a person's deliberately missed Kiddush. And according to with Amram Goin and others, it doesn't apply to a case of mazed, it only applies to accidental or inadvertent missing of Kiddush. So there's beautiful lomdas here. And there's a Bach who explains what's going on. We'll get to how we paskin in a second, but there's a Bach, again, you can bring riots back or forth, but it's beautiful. The Bach says, what's going on here? He says they're arguing about what's the nature of the din of making Kiddush on Shabbos day if you didn't make it on Friday night. So there's a din of Tashlumen. There's a din of Tashlumen, which means compensation. Right? So one can compensate for something if they didn't do it at the correct time. That's a din we find in many different areas of halacha. I would say the most well-known area of halacha this is applicable in is Hilchus Tefillah. Yeah, Hilchus Tefillah. If one does missed a shachris, then it davened a mincha twice. Now, people may be aware that that din of tashlumen, that halacha of making up a missed shachris for mincha, does not apply in a case of mazed. It doesn't apply if it's somebody, you can't deliberately right wake up in the morning, see, oh, beautiful, you know, beautiful day, let's do whatever they're going to do. It's okay, I'll daven mincha twice. I'm not going to daven shachris, because I know right, there's a din of tashlumen of making it up, I'll daven mincha twice. If a person has such a mindset and deliberately decides, oh, I'll daven a mincha twice, I'm not because there's a din that I can make up for the shachris, that's no good. That's no good. But that's no good. That's not a tefillah. That's not a tashlumen whatsoever. The halacha is only if for whatever reason a person was shogeg, forgot, or the circumstances beyond their control, then we can talk about it, davening mincha twice. So according to Rav Amram Gaon, when the Gemara says, if one misses Kiddush on Friday night, they can make it up on Shabbos day, that's the same as a tashlumen, a compensation, like in Hilchus Tefillah, and therefore all of the rules of compensation of Hilchus Tefillah would also apply to this Kiddush. Okay, so again, one of the big limitations of doubling up for the mincha would be if a person missed the shachris, mazed on purpose. If a person did that, it's not possible for them to then double up. So the halacha is same by Kiddush. That's the shittah of Amon Goyin, and therefore. Sorry? Oh, we'll get beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Very good. Very good. Yeah, this is a really nice point, so we'll get there, exactly. So the Amon Goyin says it's a Tashlumen. The Bach continues this analysis and says, according to the Rambam, again, how are we going to explain this? This is the Rambam, this is in Perek Kaftet, Halacha Dalet, if one wants to look it up, in Hilchos Shabbos. According to the Rambam, it's much more wide, right? Even if it's mazed, one can make Kiddush. So how does the Rambam explain this? Because it can't be explained through Tashlumen, compensation for the mitzvah, because that only applies in a case of Shogeg or Oynas. It doesn't apply in a case of mazed. So how's the Rambam going to explain this? Beautiful. Oh, so the Bach explains, according to the Rambam, what does one have to say? You have to say the mitzvah of Kiddush is to proclaim, to declare the sanctity of Shabbos at some point. And the best time to do that is the beginning of Shabbos. Now, I haven't seen this anywhere, but I assume this also links to the discussion about there's different views in halacha about how rushed one should be when one gets home to make it. So I assume that links to a similar point. That the best, according to the opinions, that one should really do it as quickly as possible, because that's what the Ikar Takana is. That's what the way Kiddush was instituted, that one should make this declaration proclaiming Shabbos. By the way, it all links beautifully to the first part of Ki'ilu Asah. Shabbos happens whether we make Kiddush or not, but it's about us buying into that. It all links. But if you don't do it at the beginning of Shabbos, it can be done at any time. Right? And it's not done on Shabbos day as a tashlumen. It's done on Shabbos because the Ikar Mitzvah, the main mitzvah of Kiddush, according to the Rambam, one can suggest, as the Bach explains, is all day. Is all day on Shabbos. And therefore, the best time to do it is at the beginning of Shabbos on Friday night. But even if one deliberately didn't do it. But this is an incredible Kiddush. Somebody deliberately didn't make Kiddush Friday night. Deliberately didn't do it. We can do it the next day. Because that's the Ikar Mitzvah. The Mitzvah is to just make Kiddush at some point on Shabbos. Oh. Very good. Okay, so now 2 points. First of all, how do we paskin? Second of all, what does one actually say? So, the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rambam. And the Ramah adds that you say the Friday night Kiddush, other than Vayechulu. Why? Exactly. Because the whole point of Vayechulu is about finishing creation, which was Friday night, not shy after Shabbos day. So if, in such a case, after the person comes into the shul, when the person's ready, they would make the Friday night Kiddush, no need to say the Kiddush of Rabbah, one would make the Friday night Kiddush without the text of Vayechulu. By the way, I was just thinking out loud now, we'll conclude with this thought, is that according to this Ramah, you wouldn't say the Vayechulu on Shabbos morning if it's a missed Kiddush, so sensitive to when we are saying Vayechulu at the proper time on Friday night, that's mamish because that was when the Bria was finished. Wow, that's unbelievable. When we say Kiddush tonight, Vayechulu, that's mamish because, again, it's an obvious point, but sometimes the obvious points are the ones we forget. That's mamish. We're saying Vayechulu Hashmai Vayechul Chol Tzvon because it's Leil Shishi. This is when the Bria was finished. And when we say those words, it's not just we say it because we say it. It has meaning, it has significance. It has significance that we're saying that on Friday night because that is when the Bria was finished. And if you didn't make the Kiddush for whatever reason, don't say that the next day because that's not when the Bria was finished. So Mi'ez Hashem, we should all be mindful. We should be mindful of the holiness of Shabbos, the gift of Shabbos, our part in making Shabbos, and Mi'ez Hashem, all of the halachas associated with it as well. Ad kan.
Thank you.
My pleasure, my friend.
Since Chushev Darshan spoke about the subject of Shabbos, so let's follow on from the same theme, because there is a very remarkable juxtaposition here of the Taka Lushan of Shomunes with Shabbos in this week's Seder, just preceding the Masehu Egel and concluding the Meleches HaMishkon. And on the face of it, it seems to be very out of place. We need to have an explanation. What is it that we have those few psikim which describe Shabbos Kodesh on the conclusion of the speaking about the Master of the Mishkan and just preceding the Masehu Egel, where the Eden constructed this golden calf. Now, first of all, it's worthwhile mentioning what does it really mean that the Rebbeinu Shloilem asked for Usi the Mikdash for Shulchanti Besoichom. The Rebbeinu Shloilem has said that there is what we call a minuscule presence, translated usually from Ze'er Anpin. The Eibishter was manifest, so to speak, amongst the Yidden on a greater grandeur, on a greater format than what happened after the Masu Egel and Chasushum Klalesu and Nechshel, and they were observing the Erev Rav making this Avodah Zarah. And now the Rebbeinu says, I can't be part of this nation in the same format, in the same way, and he departed. And then finally gave them the consolation prize. You know what? I'll show you that I give you a kapura. I will allow you to reassume this connection by building the Mishkan, creating an abode, so to speak, where the Rebbeinu Shloilem will be manifest. And this is the Ze'er Anpin of the Mishkan, which the Mishkan followed really, the Masehu Egel, as a place where the Rebbeinu Shloilem will reside. So that means that, in essence, the Mishkan was a microcosm of Kedisha, that the Rebbeinu Shloilem was there, Bezeir Anpin, so to speak, present within this building, in order to show that he is here, but not necessarily in the same manifestation as he was earlier. Where do we have a similar representation every single week? Shabbos Kodesh. Shabbos is a microcosm of that Kedisha where the Rebbeinu Shloilem is mashrish chinusoy, and we come in Friday night, we get around some davenim, mazuk lechin erananu, and in the air there's a presence of a za'er ampin, the Eibishter is du. It's a different kedusha, a different sense of sanctity applied to this day. And there you have a so to speak, a correlation between the two, Shabbos Kodesh and the Mishkan. And there brings us to several points which we can see if we go Kesaida, where the similarities actually lend themselves to. Person that before the Kahanim went into the Heilige Beis Mikdash or the Mishkan in order to do the Avodah, the first thing they had to do was to sanctify themselves. By what? By making a kiyah, a choshes, washing the Kiddush Yadayim, Kiddush Raglayim. A Yid goes into Shabbos. He's also Mekadosh himself. First of all, either he washes himself, he takes a shower for Shabbos. Those people which go to the mikveh on Erev Shabbos and immerse himself beforehand. So you have again the similarity between the avoider in the Mishkan and the avoider which goes on for every Yid in Shabbos Kodesh. A person went into the Mishkan to serve, who was a Kohen. He didn't come in with his suit and his trousers and his belt. He had to put on big day kehineh. These were the special vestments there in order to serve the Rebbein Shlolem with the appropriate clothes. Similarly, a Yid came daran on Shabbos, so he puts on Shabbos clothes, Shabbos suit, or bekitcha, whatever it would be, a special beged which is there, lekuvet Shabbos Kodesh, that he changes his vestments, again, a similarity between the two. In the Mishkan, they had shtei alechem, they had lechem apunim, which was removed from Shabbos to Shabbos. Again, you sit down tonight, and you make a moitzi, take lechem mishnah, there's many reasons, the mon, etc. But coming back to our simile of the two, you can notice that the concept of the lechem mishnah is easily representing the shtei alechem or the lechem apunim, which was brought in the Mishkan as well. Furthermore, the menorah, which lit inside the Mishkan, would be represented by us, by the Shabbos lech, that the lady lights before Shabbos Kodesh, just before, to welcome in the Shabbos. Again, a similarity of lechtlech with lechtlech, and even down to the hatuvas and nairas, which the Kohen Gudel did himself, and he prepared them beforehand, is an avoider which every husband should do before he lights, his wife lights the lechtlech, he prepares them before, lights them, extinguishes them so that they light more easily. We know the Mizbeach in the Mishkan is a place where the Kohanim were described that the Mishilchon Guvoya Kuzuchi, they are, so to speak, actually consuming from the exalted high table of the Rebbein Shlolem, and these were the kabunas which were eaten. We too, on Shabbos Kodesh, we have a Shabbos Tish, and we have this Miras, Shiras, Sishbuchas, and Torah. This is also a b'china of Mishulchan Gvoya Kuzuchi. In the Mishkan, they had Ketoras, they had the aroma, which represented tranquility, peace, because the Mishkan and the Beis Mikdash was described as Nevei Sha'anon, an abode of tranquility. And Shabbos is also synonymous with Shulim. Shabbos Shulim in Mevoirach, to the extent that even the Indian of Shulim bias is so predominant in the mitzvah of Chanukah Lech, which is so, you know, so much is spoken about by Siman Nisa, but if you've only got a couple of pounds to spend between the two, given the choice of Chanukah Lech or Shabbos Lech, the halucha is that Shabbos Lech comes first because Shulim Ba'is Udev. There, Chas Shulim, anybody will trip and will not bring the peace that is necessary for Shabbos, again synonymous with the Beis Hamikdash. On a very fundamental level, the 39 meluchas which the Mishkan was constructed with, those are the exact 39 meluchas that are forbidden on Shabbos, because we learn it from the Mishkan. So again, Shabbos and the Mishkan have again the similarities. And finally, the Mishkan was a place, and the Beis HaMikdash, which brought peace unto the entire world. It was always called, like I said in the Shanas, Sikas Shule, an abode of peace. And the meaning of it is that the peace that was manifest within the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan was one which actually permeated and spilled over to the entire world. And we also know the klal that Shabbos Kodesh is Minei Mizbochen Kol Shitu Yoimen, that the Kiddush of Shabbos and the Bruch of Shabbos and the blessing of Shabbos permeates all the way through into the 6 days of the week. So, Meile, we now understand that this particular passage that was placed in between the conclusion of the Mishkan and the Maaseh HaEgel was because of the Maaseh HaEgel, the Ribbono Shel Olam came back Bizeir Anpin into the Mishkan, because it departed through the Maaseh HaAveira, and the Mishkan itself was the Zeir Anpin, the replacement of the presence of the Shechina that was there before the Maaseh HaEgel. So Meile, when we make Shabbos Kodesh, we also take in mind that the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam is a brucha which is given to us every single Shabbos, that any Yid is there free to experience it if he wishes to. Shabbos.